Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Back at Bone Sports Radio FNC. Happy Friday. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We got to talk a little Panthers football. I'm wondering what went over worse, Bone, in the last segment. The vaccine talk, which gets people very polarized, or the dad joke. I don't know which one was worse received. But we will move on with our day to Carolina Panther football talk, baby. There will be dad joke number 4, my top 5 countdown, coming up this hour, though, everybody. So stay tuned. You'll hear an even better one than the last one.
Nevada's got a highly thought of quarterback this year. I read that during the last segment there. When I was getting yelled at about vaccines, I now just read this magazine and ignore everything.
Knock it off, baby. Knock it off. We're going to talk some Carolina Panther football. Speaking of magazines. All right, so Bone, explain this to me. You either bought the Athlon's NFL magazine or you were looking at the grocery store and they're dissing the Panthers. What happened?
Well, Mac, I didn't buy this one. I bought another one recently. I spent a lot of money on these preview magazines, whether it be college or pro, to sort of know the teams. But I also realized I'm spending a lot of money for these magazines to tell me my teams aren't very good. So in this particular case, I read Athlon in the store while I was in there. They've got the Panthers last in the South. Behind Atlanta, I want to point out that this obviously was printed when Julio Jones was on the Falcons, so that may play a factor there. But more importantly, they had the Panthers ranked in the NFC 14th out of 16. I think it was the Lions and the Eagles were the only two teams worse in the NFC. I think it was those two. Lions, Eagles, the only two teams behind the Panthers.
Panthers weren't that bad the NFC last year. I mean, you think they're going to regress in the NFC standings? Like, I don't get this. And I know this conversation, instead of talking about, like, what is our ceiling? How many games can we win on the top end? I know this conversation is inherently not as positive as that. But we have to have this conversation. Like, honestly, Panther fans, non-Panther fans, anybody listen, and y'all can hit us up on that text line. Like, and you too, Bone. Like, do you think it's possible we stink that much? Do you think it's possible that this team is last in the South? And I know that magazine was probably written, like, with Julio still on the team, like you were telling me during the break or whatever. But still, we should not have been behind them even with Julio on the team with their pathetic defensive situation that they have right now. Like, I don't think it is possible for us to be that bad this season. That would require us, T-Bone, to be either worse than last year or basically the same as last year. I don't see how that's possible with the improvements that this team has made on defense.
To stay stagnant or regress to me, I can't see, like you, I can't see it playing out that way. Last year, Mac, wasn't a team at the end of something, right? Where that was like the last hope and there's all these veterans and that was it. This is the last run, the last ride. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of Jeremy Chinn. That's the beginning of Derek Brown. We're just seeing Robbie here for a second year. DJ Moore's getting better. Where's the regression coming from? Yes, we understand ad nauseum the quarterback questions and the left tackle question. I get all that. But defensively, we're going to be worse defensively? There's no way possible this team doesn't improve, I think, greatly defensively this year.
I think it's ridiculous. Honest question to everybody out there. Can the Panthers possibly not improve this year? Like, do you think it's possible they could be last in the division and third worst in the conference?
That is blasphemous.
Thank you, Stephen A. That is exactly what it is. First of all, let's throw in one thing here. We got a full offseason. It's one of the most underrated factors in the Panthers season last year. New coach, a bunch of new young players, and they had no legitimate offseason. Like, seriously. It's absolutely, you know, they were absolutely behind the eight ball to start last year. All the young guys that they ended up playing on defense last year, and did you see what happened to that defense by the end of the year? That was a hell of a defense final six games. You know, was vast improvement. And then you add in, so you got young players, T-Bone. It's their second year in the system. They should naturally keep improving Brown, Gross Matos, Burns, those sort of guys. And then you factor in all the defensive additions, Horn, Perryman, Reddick, Morgan Fox, Daquan Jones. How the heck do the Panthers not take a step up this year? And you know what? This isn't the only thing yesterday, Bone, that you told me about. Bone was trying to ruin my day yesterday with some of this Panther preseason mumbo-jumbo garbage because Jason Lockenfor apparently took a shot at how our rebuild is, what did he call it? Stuttering or stumbling or something?
Sputtering.
Sputtering, okay.
He said Atlanta and Carolina's rebuilds are sputtering, and Jameis could flourish and keep New Orleans the same, is what he said. Can I also point this out, too, in terms of regression and being stagnant, what we're talking about here? How many games last year could they have won down the stretch? It wasn't like they were getting blown out every week. They had three blowout losses, right? Technically speaking, more than a possession, I'd say. Tampa Bay twice, got them, and one of them was at the end of the game when Fournette broke loose. So they lost by 14 that game, but two blowouts to Tampa, and then New Orleans the last game. But every other game was a possession or less. They were in almost every football game along the way, except for the ones that I mentioned there. And they actually rallied in that first Tampa game. The score maybe was a little bit worse than it thought. They weren't blown out of many games last year.
It's another thing too, Bone. It's one of the big things they say in the advanced analytics area. Like Football Outsiders is big on this. You go 0-8 in close games the year before. That is not going to replicate itself. Like, the odds, the advanced stats geeks truly believe that is something that is not, like, that's just, there's a lot of luck involved in that. Plus, we got rid of Teddy Bridgewater, who absolutely peed down his leg in so many close game situations. Now, I realize we haven't exactly added Joe Montana here. But I just believe that we will be better in end-game situations. I think the defense will be better in end-game situations. And I also think Sam Darnold's going to come here, Bone, and for once in his career, I think he's going to have a pretty good defense. I shouldn't say that because 2 years ago they had damn good defense with the Jets. But I think Boney's going to have an opportunity where maybe he can get coached into realizing you don't have to make every dang play yourself. Right, you got help on the other side of the ball, and you got help. You could throw short passes to CMC, DJ, and Robbie, and they can get you 25 yards.
It's not inconceivable, Mac, that the Panthers, I'm not guaranteeing it or anything, but you can make a case to me that the Panthers could start 4-1 when you really think about it, because they play the Jets week one. They're not losing the Jets week number one, I'm telling you right now. That will not be a loss to the Panthers. They play Houston week number three. Houston might be the worst team in football. So two of their first three, they should win. Then in game five, they have Philadelphia, who was ranked lower than them in the Athlon magazine, for whatever that's worth. So three of their first five, they're probably favored to win the games. The other two are New Orleans and Dallas. If you find a way to split New Orleans and Dallas in the first 5 weeks and you win your winnable games, you could make a case to me that this team could start 4-1. You could.
Oh, yeah, that schedule, too. That schedule should be conducive to a good start.
And then after Philadelphia,
it's
Minnesota and the Giants. They're not great teams. That first half of the schedule, we could see this team rack up some wins.
There's one playoff team from last year in the schedule in the first half. Now, the end of the season is like the damn boogeyman when I was 7 years old. That end of the season is brutal. But I'm not even on here. Somebody's calling me a homer. Max a homer. He's going to predict a Super Bowl for the Panthers next. That's not what I'm saying. If you're jumping in, we're talking about the Athlon's magazine, the Bone Saw yesterday, that had the Panthers last in the division, 14th in the conference. And I'm just saying our floor, to me, is not that low anymore with the improvements this team is making to their roster. And that is even with a serious problem at left tackle and questions of Darnold. Like, I mean, I'm asking the question, if you're a Panther fan, can you see us being as bad or worse than last year? The number one answer, T-Bone, I'm noticing on the text line from people in regards to how we could be this bad is if people keep saying it. If Sam Darnold plays as bad as he did with the Jets, they say, guy says we can win four games. Another guy says we won't improve if Sam Darnold's the same guy he was with the Jets last year. I find it hard to believe that we can't improve him, that we can't make him a better player than he was with the New York Jets, that toxic mess.
They almost won a number of games last year with Teddy Bridgewater. Is Teddy Bridgewater, is it a major drop-off from Darnold to Darnold from Bridgewater? I think Darnold's got more upside than Bridgewater does, especially throwing the ball deep, late-game situations. Sam Darnold has more of an ability to rally a team late because he can throw the ball down the field that Bridgewater wouldn't do. We've got that ability now that we didn't have last year to throw the ball into the end zone. That element is there that wasn't there last year.
Yeah, I think so. The people bringing up losing Curtis Samuel, I think Samuel's a big loss, and I personally wanted them to shop Robbie and see if they could find a way to keep Samuel and let the Robbie money go to Samuel. I don't know though. Like, I think we've improved enough to where we take a step forward even without Curtis Samuel. And I'm telling you, people are sleeping on guys like Dan Arnold. People are sleeping on guys like David Moore, who made a lot of big plays in Seattle for Russell Wilson. And I think people are sleeping on Terrace Marshall because he hasn't been able to be out there much in camp. There's a lot of personnel dudes after the draft that said, I had him graded as a first rounder. I still think this team is in great shape when it comes to weapons. Oh, and CMC, the CMC factor. If we can keep him healthy, knock on wood, last year he only played 3 stinking games. That's a big deal in terms of your improvement as well. Somebody I noticed on text line hit us up and said, that's disrespectful to CMC. To basically, in a preview magazine, write that the Panthers will be worse than they were last year. And they get CMC back? Like, are people forgetting what kind of weapon this dude is?
Yeah, I mean, look what Ryan Tannehill has in Derrick Henry, right? I mean, Tannehill was able to succeed and has become a much better quarterback. Not the same player. I know they're different, but he's got that monster in Derrick Henry. And look what it's done for Tannehill. When he got away from Adam Gase and got that dude, he all of a sudden becomes a quarterback getting paid and playing in the playoffs. And, Mac, you mentioned the end of the season, and I'll point this out again that we did during schedule time here. I know that last 3 games, Tampa, New Orleans, Tampa, in Buffalo, that is a 4-game gauntlet. But again, we don't know how good New Orleans might be. In that last Tampa game, they may be playing for nothing. So when we get to that point, it looks tough now. We have no idea what that last 4-game stretch may ultimately be either.
I like what Coach Pauly says. So, Mac, you're telling me the way the schedule sets up, we will give everybody playoff hope during the first half of the schedule, only be punched back to reality by the second half of the schedule. That's Coach Pauly. Coach Pauly, have we ever seen that before? Hot start in this town, only to fade down the stretch. See, I think it's different, though. Like, those 2 teams, Bone, in 18 and 19 that faded, it was Cam injury-induced. And I'm not saying Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold could be a better quarterback than Kyle Allen, I guess is what I'm saying here. Like, I feel, or than Cam was when in 2018 down the stretch when he was playing through injury and it was clear he was just a shell of himself. Like, if I just believe Sam Darnold's going to be better than those 2 situations for this team. We're building something here. I would be shocked if we don't take a rebuilding step forward this year. I'd be shocked by it.
Someone says by week 8, Mac's going to be going, hey, do you want to scram for Sam? Who wants Sam Howell on your Carolina Panthers? No, we're not doing that. We're not going to do a whole thing for Sam Howell, all right? Settle down here, all right? We got a Sam here. Sam Darnold, don't need Sam Howell.
Yeah. Our, if you say so, Boney, if you say so, baby.
I mean, you know, you take a look-see if he's there, right? You got to do your due diligence. We got a Sam. We got the best Sam. We got the best Sam in the state right now, Flounder. Sam Darnold.
Oh, okay, Boney. All right. That's worse than the joke from the last segment.
Oh,
is that a dad joke? Is that Bone's dad joke of the day?
End the next segment, Bone. My number 4 dad joke. Now, number 4 dad
number
joke
4.
In honor of all the fathers out there is next segment, Boney.
Lisa's moving quickly here. This segment is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. When we come back, NC State's in Omaha for the College World Series. But what kind of big deal is this for other fan bases? It's Mac and Bone on Sports Radio FNZ.
Radio FNZ, Mac and Bone, hanging out with you here on a Friday morning. Our friend Wes Bryant, ACC Digital Network, joins us at 7:40. We'll dig into the ACC. We'll go team by team, teams in the Carolinas, ACC in general, and see what Wes Bryant thinks is about ready to happen in the 2021 football season, which cannot get here fast enough. So we'll get his thoughts on everybody that matters in the ACC to y'all. And if y'all have requests or questions or teams to talk about, you can certainly send those in as well. All right, I want to have a conversation right now about NC State and kind of about rivalry rules, rivalry etiquette. There's been an interesting thing that has been happening this week, Bone, that I've been watching, all right? I've been observing occurring, okay? A lot of it's been on the text line. A lot of it's been on social media. NC State fans, as you would expect, are bragging about going to the College World Series. State fans are excited. It's the third time they went to the College World Series. It's not like NC State is championship U in basketball and football. This is something, I mean, they get knocked all the time because the sport they win in is bass fishing. Right? Like, this is something that State fans are excited about. In their life of enduring a lot of NC State bleep, NC State fans are excited that they're in the College World Series, excited by the way they got there, knocking off the number one team in the country after losing 21-2 on Friday night. On the flip side, I'm noticing on the text line and on social media, I'm noticing UNC fans that are mocking State fans for talking trash about this, Bone. And I don't know if Duke fans are doing it or not, but I had a UNC fan say, Mac, could you please make these NC State fans stop acting like they like baseball? They are so guy says, they're so desperate for something to brag about that they're acting like they really care about baseball. Where do you stand on this, Boney? Is it fair game to talk trash, to celebrate going to the College World Series? Or do you believe that that is not worth bragging about? Where do you stand on this?
I think that's rather hypocritical from UNC fans' point of view, because there was a number of years, about a decade ago, where they made this thing, right? They were in the finals, right? It was a big deal to them. Like, it mattered. Like, it was important. Like, UNC was almost winning national titles in college baseball. And I remember we did a lot of interviews with coaches and some players. We talked a lot about it. We had phone calls open from UNC fans. It meant a lot to them. So don't turn around a decade later and all of a sudden start peeing on the state parade because they're excited about it. I'll defend State on this one. Let them be excited about it. If you were in this thing, UNC fans, or other fan bases, you would be excited too for this thing. I would love for Duke to be in this thing. I would love for the Gamecocks to be in this thing again. So I'm not going to sit here and rain on this parade for State. They should enjoy this thing.
There's a guy named Carolina named fan named Mark that says basically everybody knows there's two sports you brag about to your rival, and that's basketball and football. He says nobody wants to hear you brag about Olympic sports, he said, or no one wants to hear you brag about sports like baseball. I want to honestly know where y'all stand, because in our listening audience, first of all, we have a lot of State fans, a lot of Carolina fans listening. So right there, this is probably happening to you in your own life. You go to work, and your buddy's a State fan. He's talking College World Series, and you probably want to diminish what his Wolfpack have done. And you're probably, it's only baseball. What do y'all think about the College World Series? How into it are fans out there? Like, are NC State fans geeked about this? Does it really bother Carolina fans? Like, here's my thing, too, Bone. I'm kind of with you on this. Here's my thing. If Carolina fans don't regard this as that important of an accomplishment, then why does it bother them that State's bragging about it?
Because they know, you know, it's a big deal for them. Like, am I wrong here that UNC fans were over the moon when they almost won the title a while back? It was a huge deal.
Two straight College World Series. UNC fans were pumped.
Absolutely.
Weren't UNC and South Carolina at one of the same World Series? Or no, they played each other on their way, right?
Yes.
That's what it was. And remember the way they were bickering with each other about it? They were fighting about who's the real Carolina and all this. Like, they got into it. So
Roy Williams was at the games. It was a big deal. You guys cared. But when State has something, if State advances to a Final Four, you'll tell State, it doesn't matter. We've been there. Whenever State does something, and I'm not
they
just
trying to diminish it.
I'm not just saying it's all UNC fans. I'm sure there's Duke fans that do stuff too to them and other fan base. It seems like State's the one fan base that whenever they do something that the other schools have done, that they get almost like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, you got to get – let them enjoy it.
Here's another one too. Carolina fans live to try to tell State they don't matter, right? not our rival, to get the chant going, not our rival. Even players over the years have said that as well. And obviously the numbers are what they are. But, like, you would not care enough to tell, you know what I mean? Like, we know you're trying to needle them. Like, Carolina tries to play it cool. Oh, we're above you, State. You're not our rival. But it's like, I know you're poking them. You're poking them because you know it upsets them. It's like when the older brother messes with the little brother and knows I can just toy with you. I know how to push your buttons, get you so mad. And that's what they try to do with State. This is a hell of an accomplishment. By the way they did it, Bone, coming back for 21-2, State fans should be extremely proud of this Pac-9 bunch. And then the other thing, too, is Avent loses one of his parents in the last year, and for him, it's a big deal. Avent's been there 25 years. He's trying to break, you know, it's his second College World. I don't know. I will ask you this, and we'll see. I'm going to see what a lot of the fans, feel free to hit us up on the text line, weigh in on this. Like, and this could apply to Clemson and South Carolina. This could apply to, like, if you're an SEC fan, like, do you talk trash about college baseball accomplishments, or do you feel like that is – this dude says, let's be honest, man, Carolina fans would not brag about something like baseball success. We have success in the sport that matters in this state. That's not true, dude. Bone, you and I were doing the show when they were in the College World Series.
It wasn't –
y'all were pumped.
2009 range, 2010, that area? Someone says UNC fans –
2006?
Was it that
was
long?
Was it then, or was it later than that?
I'll look up the exact
06
year.
And then 07.
Okay, that's 06 and 07. Feels like it wasn't that long. But someone on the text line brings up a good point. UNC fans brag about everything, including women's field hockey a month ago. They brag about all the sports. But when State can brag about something, that sport all of a sudden doesn't matter.
That's a good point. What is that thing? I think it's called the Carmichael Cup. Is it the Carmichael Cup? The thing that you win like for having like being good at all sports. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Or the maybe there's another
the Capital One Cup thing?
Is that what it is? Capital One?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Carmichael Capital One.
Not exactly
you say
sure
tomato,
what
I say
what a Carmichael Cup
I don't know
is.
Why I said that. I don't know. I may have thinking of old Carmichael Coliseum. I don't know what else is going on. But anyway, Carolina fans have bragged about that before. They're standing in that. We're good at all the sports or whatever. Flounder, where do you stand on this, dude? You're a heel that hates the Wolfpack. Anytime they text in, you get triggered, bro. Like, do you feel this way? Like, it's lame for them to brag about this? Or do you not agree with your fellow heels fans?
I don't know, man. Like, I mean, clearly I'm not rooting for them. But, I mean, yeah, if you make it to the College World Series, especially with the team that they had to go through, I mean, you got to at least let them celebrate it. I mean, even if you don't want to give them credit, you got to at least say to yourself, look, this is a pretty signature accomplishment. I am not at all with the guy that is saying we don't want to talk about any other sports besides football and basketball. You realize we got a women's soccer team that's got 21 national championships, right? And one of the greatest women's soccer players of all time in Mia Hamm. I'm okay bragging about that kind of stuff.
And I've heard fans brag about that. Now, the thing is that's interesting, though, Bone, is, and they're only reason I brought this up is to kind of I'll read some of these texts too. The reason I brought it up is fans have different approaches to kind of what matters to them, right, as college fans. Like this dude says, I don't care about college baseball, so why on earth would I be that angry if somebody brags about it? Thomas says, I'm a diehard UNC fan and these other UNC fans are full of it. I will brag about anything. Doesn't matter what sport we're good in. It could be the chess team, the rowing team. And I'm bragging if the Tar Heels are good. See, that's the thing, though. Some people don't care, Bone, about anything other than football and basketball. But baseball's probably number three, especially in this region, right? Like, baseball in the Southeast is a pretty big deal. So to act like it doesn't matter – When all these teams have had success and everybody's bragged from the Gamecocks to Clemson to UNC, I don't know, man. Seems pretty weak. Bone was bragging about Duke winning the ACC title a couple weeks back.
What about Duke? You know? Duke fencing. Duke fencing had an historic year. How about that? Am I allowed that? Can I say that, Flounder? Is that allowed? Duke fencing?
I don't know if that one qualifies.
No, I had to go look up what fencing was. I thought they were constructing, you know, fences at houses. Apparently, it's with the.
You thought this was a Tom Sawyer situation? They were painting the fences out back?
Yeah. Apparently, it's a thing with the swords, but Duke is very good at it.
Dude, Heels fans aren't letting up either if you look at the text line. UNC alum, it's all about basketball and football and maybe women's soccer. That's it. This texter says, how about we give a little golf clap for NC State? They're trying to get the little old baseball
stuff,
trope. They're so condescending, though.
When you react in that way, that shows you that you're a rival of theirs. We have this whole not the rival thing. The way you guys react to state success shows me right there that you want them to lose. You care how they do. It bothers you when they succeed. What's that mean? That's a rivalry.
That's
in all true. Sports.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Good point. It's interesting, man. The dynamic between these fans cracks me up. State fans, y'all get excited, man. Y'all should. All right. Let's see here. I got to postpone. Very sad news. I have to postpone my number four ranked dad joke till the next segment after we talk football.
You forgot to look one up, didn't you?
No, I have it, but we ran out of time. I got so into this thing. Because I love Carolina fans, but y'all are being booties about this one, man. Seriously. This ain't cool. This is
hate the fact that we ran out of time for Mac's fourth-ranked dad joke. This segment is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Whether it's next-day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you. Because their motor never quits, that's Napa know-how. When we come back, we talk college football, Carolina, and state, not baseball, football talk. It's next with Wes Bryant of the ACC Digital Network. Mac and Bone on Sports Radio FNZ.
Sports Radio FNZ, Mac and Bone with you, rolling on a Friday, man. Dads, happy Father's Day to all you. Hope you get treated right this weekend. Boney, I checked with some Heels fans that I know during the break. We are allowed to talk about college football. We're allowed to take that seriously. I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure the Heels fans are okay, because apparently baseball, when their rivals in the College World Series, all of a sudden doesn't matter. So I just wanted to make sure. But we're good to go. We got the all clear. And we're going to do it with a man who was a deacon his college days, now does a great job working, has been for years, for the ACC Digital Network, covering ACC sports, including the sport he played at Wake Forest. And we got to talk some ACC football and preview some of these teams, preview the season. And that is Wes Bryant, who joins us here on the Mac Attack. Wes, what's good, man? How you doing?
What's going on, guys? I have returned.
I love it, man. I know when we start bothering you and texting you to come on that it's football time, baby. And we got a couple of months, but I know you're ready. I will start with the Tar Heels. Let's do this, Bone. Let's try to make the Tar Heel fans happy. Since
what are we
so
doing that for?
Over the college. They're so upset over the State College World Series. What do you think, Wes, about the Heels team? Like, are they definitely the favorite to win their division? And are they a threat to Clemson or no?
I definitely wouldn't put them as the clear-cut favorite to win the Coastal, because the Miami Hurricanes are sitting there. De'Aaron King is back, and they will have plenty of talent to boot as well. But, again, with Carolina, you just want to see how they respond to expectations. We saw last year they dropped a few games that they shouldn't have, but still ended up in a great bowl game, ended the season on a high note, but missing a lot of guys on that offense. We know what they lost, but it's all about what coming back, and are they ready to step up on that stage? You're talking Kofre Brown. Is he ready to replace his brother Deami? Bo Corrales, is he ready to be even more of a threat? And the big thing is in that backfield, where you lost that two-headed monster with Michael Carter and the crew, and Javonte Williams. Can they replace those two guys? Because, hey, Sam Howell, as excellent as he is, he did have a great luxury last year with arguably the best running game in the country, two great running backs. And defensively, we know the Tar Heels struggled, and they lost guys on that side. But Jeremiah Gimel is going to be one of the star players in the conference. Can he get that defense? Kamari Fox. So Carolina has a lot to prove. They have a lot of holes to fill. The one sure thing they have coming back is Sam Howell, who we expect to be one of the nation's top quarterbacks. But I wouldn't say they're the clear-cut favorite, because, as I said, Miami is going to be a factor in that division as well.
We're talking to Wes Bryant of the ACC Digital Network, at Wes Got Range on Twitter. Also, check out Awful Announcing for a piece on the ACC Digital Network and what they're doing. Some remarkable work that you guys are doing. Check out the piece on awfulannouncing.com. Wes, as far as NC State goes, if it's Clemson, Carolina, Miami, 1-2-3, and that seems to be what everybody has, can you make a case that State could end up the fourth-best team in this conference?
Well, they certainly can. Last year, going 8-4, they surprised many with what they had, especially with what they had to go through, losing your quarterback during the season, losing Devin Leary to an injury. So they definitely showed a lot of grit, a lot of merit over there. But coming back again, you got, you know, Emeka Emezi. He's back. But they're going to have a two-headed monster of their own with Zonovan Knight and Ricky Person in the backfield. So this is a football team that's not lacking talent. And a lot of people are sleeping on this crew because I guess they haven't had some of the bigger names that they've had in the past, you know, and defensively as well. They have their struggles. But Peyton Wilson will be back with that group. So Dave Dorn, he seems to be able to rally this crew when a lot of people count them out. So NC State, you have to look at them as a factor as well.
Completely underrated, Wes. Their over-under number is like 6.5 in Vegas. Yeah. I mean, that team, I think, is going to have a winning record with all that coming back and Leary coming back. Wes Bryant, ACC Digital Network with us, previewing ACC football. If you're out there and you root for an ACC team, hit us up. If you'd like Wes to talk about him, hit us up there on that Building Center text line. Wes, we had somebody on this week, I forget who was hyping up Florida State to us. Mm-hmm. One of the analysts we talked to was hyping up Florida State.
Josh Pate, CBS HQ.
That's who it was. Yeah, it was yesterday. Josh Pate was telling us he thinks the Noles have a chance to be maybe the third or fourth best team in the ACC because he thinks Mackenzie Milton is the real deal, the UCF transfer at quarterback. Is he getting a little ahead of things there? Are they good enough? Like, I know he's a great addition, but are they good enough in the elsewhere on the team to make that big of a jump?
Yeah, definitely. I disagree with him wholeheartedly. Just for the state, I just don't see it with these guys. When you look at the skill talent, I mean, you know, it's just, and I was a huge Florida State fan in the 90s. I say that all the time, and you always thought about those dynamic skill players and defensively just striking fear in you because you knew your quarterback might not last the game. I just don't see any of that with that football team. Now, Mackenzie Milton did look good in FSU's spring game. He was running the football. He was throwing the football everywhere with accuracy, so he looks like he's back from that injury. But he also has to beat out Jordan Travis, which I think shouldn't be much of a problem. But still, Jordan Travis is still a big playmaker for them as well. But, yeah, with Florida State, I just don't see the skill talent, an established guy there. They're going to have to show me. They're hyping up Malik McClain, a freshman coming in there. They're saying he could be one of the top guys to come into Florida State in some time. But as far as just, you know, you look at the guys, Keyshawn Hilton, Lawrence Toa Philly. Let me know if I name somebody that strikes fear in you when I'm saying this.
I'm not scared.
You know what I'm saying? Let me know. So, yeah, what I want to say right now, they're going to have to show me, but I just don't see it. And then when you talk about some of the intangibles with that program, the problems that they've had with the head coach and some of the lack of transparency they've had with different issues, and I just don't see it with this program right now. I just think they're a program that just has to just kind of get out of its own way. And like I said, Norvell, a lot of people have kind of questioned the leadership there. We've seen in the media some of the problems that they've had in communication with the players about some pretty important issues. So for Florida State right now, I still think they're on that climb up, and I just don't see them being a real factor this season.
We're talking to Wes Bryant of the ACC Digital Network here on the MAC Attack. Wes, Wake Forest had become fairly consistent over the last handful of years under Dave Clawson. Last year, not as much in a shorter season, 4-5. What kind of year do you expect from the Deacs this year?
Well, I think if there's ever a chance for them to really make some noise in the Atlantic, it's this year because they have pretty much everybody back. Sam Hartman, that's the key thing is, you know, is he going to emerge and really have one of those seasons? You got Christian Bill Smith back. And then, like I said, a kid to watch out for, Taylor Morton. And a guy that does not get talked about is Jakari Robinson. This guy was rated the number two receiver last year. Mac, I know you love pro football folks and those guys. He's the number two rated receiver behind Devontae Smith. And nobody knows this guy's name. All he does is catch everything and make touchdowns and get open. So this is a guy that everybody needs to be on the lookout for, Jakari Robinson, Donovan Green. So Wake has a lot of great skill talent up front. They have to replace a few guys. And defensively, yeah, you lose a Boogie Basham and, you know, some of those guys, but especially a Boogie Basham. I tell people all the time, the difference between Wake and Clemson and some of the biggest schools, amongst other things, is that, you know, a guy like Boogie Basham that's a second round selection. We have one of those, but Clemson has like eight of those. So and guys that are even better. So you have to replace those type of guys. That's going to be huge. Not easy for the Deeks, but offensively, tons of talent back. Defensively, tons of talent. So this is a team that, with the continuity that they have in the coaching staff, as well as many as the players that they have returning, they have no excuse but to make noise this year. So I'm expecting a pretty good season out of Wake. We'll see.
Mac, they have 10 starters back on offense, Wake Forest. They averaged 36 a game last year, 19th in the country, 10 guys back on offense.
Wes is right. People don't know how explosive that passing game was downfield and how explosive that offense is. I think Kloss is going to have them good again. I totally believe that. By the way, Wes, before we let you go, you are lucky enough to be brought in on something that we are doing today. And happy Father's Day to you, Wes, by the way. I know you're a dad like I am. We are doing I'm doing a top five dad jokes countdown.
We're doing it now?
Yeah, we're doing it for Wes. Oh, we're doing it for Wes, Bone. This is my number four.
To be part of this. Wes, you can leave.
I'm counting down my top five dad jokes. I'm sharing these with the dads that want to annoy their kids with dad jokes this weekend. So, Wes, I want to see what you think of this. Bone and Flounder are haters on my dad jokes. They sound like my kids hating on these dad jokes, all right? So I want to try my material out.
Okay.
I can't find my material right now, Bone. Where's
you
my material?
Lost the joke.
My son's in here listening to my damn dad jokes.
This is
right
only
now.
Number four, right?
Max crumbling under the pressure.
This is number four.
This is lasting longer than Sam Hartman's career, Wes.
All right, here it is right here. Here's something I did with my daughter. I don't think I did this to my son, who's listening to my dad joke right now. My daughter said to me once, "Dad, can you pick me up tomorrow at such and such?" And I said, "I don't know. Let me see. Let me try right now." And I went over and picked her up. Is that a good dad joke?
Well, that translated well.
That was worse than the first one.
Hey, we're still live, right? There's people listening to this, right? There's people out there that are trying to enjoy a radio show. Why are you trying to ruin it?
Wes, is that not a money dad joke to get a laugh out of the kids or get a groan out of the kids?
Yeah, man, actually, my son, he's pretty adept at those. He loves to tell me those type of jokes. So I got one.
Oh.
You got the parent.
Oh, yeah, what you got? What you got?
Yeah. Where does lettuce go to get a drink?
Where does lettuce go to get a drink?
Yeah.
Okay. Where?
The salad bar.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Wes.
It's
but that
bad.
One is an honorable
not
mention.
Bad. That's
oh,
not bad.
Oh,
actually,
so
Wes should have the next three in this list.
Hey, but I got to give credit to my son, Bryce. He told me that one. He's pretty
There
good.
You go. I love it. When the kids get into the dad jokes, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Wes, thanks for coming on. Have a good Father's Day on Sunday, man.
I appreciate it. Check us out, ACC Digital Network, on all the platforms you can think of.
All right. Thanks, thank you, man. We'll talk to you once the season
Wes,
gets
I might
closer.
I might need a job there once Matt gets us fired.
I don't understand. Bone, is Wes's dad joke that much better than mine? Mine involved a little physical comedy. You go over and pick my daughter up?
Yeah, I just thought he executed it, but had a better game plan. You have three more. You have three more to go of this.
Three more. Waiting to hear my number one. My number one dad joke is straight fire, as the kids would say, man. Straight fire. All right. Celebrating Father's Day by sharing my dad joke material here on the Mac Attack. When we come up, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, the Braves got a big win last night. Morton was great, but there's still four games under 500, way out of the wild card chase even. Are the Braves done? Can this team still make the playoffs, or are they flat out done? We'll talk about it next. The Mac Attack, Sports Radio FNZ.
Happy Father's Day.